Hello and welcome to the Wild Minds podcast with me, your host, Joe Farrell. In this podcast, we'll be covering people's mentality, how we can help the environment, and people's mental health. We'll understand how people coped in difficult situations and how people managed to overcome the challenges they were faced with in life. If you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, follow us on Instagram at wildminds.uk and on Facebook at wildminds.uk. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
All right, we're back again, Wild Minds, for another Wild Minds Wednesday. And I've been trying to get this one for a long time. My good friend, Dan Ferran. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, we've been trying to do this for a while. I keep putting you off and rescheduling, but we're here. We're here finally.
I'm gassed. I can't wait for this one. I'm very excited for this one.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's good. It's just, you know, I've wanted to come on the and I'm enjoying what you're doing at the minute as well. Just been so busy, you know, especially around Christmas time. Owning a company or a clothing brand, especially like around Christmas, is just insane.
Yeah, so for everyone that doesn't know, Dan is the owner of Horns of Odin, one of my personal favourite brands at the minute.
Thank you.
Talk us through it, man, because the concept of it is around Vikings. So how have you, from being from Huddersfield, ended up with this mad Viking brand?
You know what, man? I don't even know myself half the time. Growing up, you know, like 16, 17, someone had said, you know, 10, 12, 13 years time, you're going to be owning a Viking company, kind of just doing pretty well, you know, send stuff all over the world. I'd be like, nah, fuck off. How's that going to happen?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, somehow it has. And I guess to go back right to the start, because it's quite an interesting story. I had a little bit of an interest in Vikings, nothing too major. And then Sarah bought me tickets to the Jorvik Viking Centre like 10, 12 years ago. Probably about 6 years ago, she took me. And I wanted a drink. Obviously, I wanted a drinking horn. Everyone wants a drinking horn, don't they? You know, it's that standard thing. You know, you go see all this cool shit, put the drink, all drinking out horns. So I wanted one and I was a bit tight. So I didn't want to pay for an expensive one.
Standard Yorkshire man, innit?
That's it, innit? That's exactly what it is. So I found this little stall that was selling them cheap. Obviously, I should have clicked on, but bought one. And then when I got it home, I just realized basically all they sold me was just a cow horn.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing done to it. It was literally just a horn off a cow. So I was like, fuck me, what am I going to do with this? So just been a bit of a perfectionist, just sort of sanded it up, carved it, cleaned it out, lined it, and ended up with something pretty nice. So a friend of mine saw one. I'm like, you know, that's pretty cool. Can you make me one? Made one for him. And then from there, it just kind of spiraled into, I made an Etsy page. And to be honest, like, I can't even take credit for it myself, because you know, you had Sam Rochford on here a couple of days ago, and he was probably the catalyst to why this whole thing started.
Was that and what?
I can't, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to give him too much credit because he'll never shut the fuck up. But literally, because me and Sam used to work together. So he saw it and he was like, you know, you need to do something with this. You need to make something. So I made a little Etsy page, and then within like a couple of hours, I got an order. Me and Sam are sat in the van getting absolutely gassed. Can't believe it. Just his first order coming, and it's amazing. And then, you know, just from there, just kept going. A couple of orders here and there. Obviously, it wasn't anything big to start with. I literally just started with the horns. And then, because I was working full time the first 3 years, I didn't really spend anything from it, which is, I don't think, it's not an easy thing to do. But I just figured, you know, if I was ever going to make anything from it, it'd have to be a case of just investing everything back into it.
Yeah, it's a constant grind, isn't it?
That's it. It's not easy. And, you know, I can't sit here and never say it was easy, because it's a struggle, because you want to spend stuff. Obviously, got a little bit of money coming in from that. It's not a massive amount of money, but, you know, you could spend it on a little bit of something for yourself. But just figure, you know, invest it back in.
Yeah.
Keep growing, keep growing, keep growing. Then started, you know, I met a jeweler who made, like, the rims for the horns. So I started selling her jewellery. And then I met like a blacksmith who were making like stands, started selling bits of his stuff and just kind of growing it like that, meeting people, selling new stuff. And then started obviously getting into clothing, and it's a bit mad, really. it's insane to have gone from literally one horn to what it is today. If, you know, if anyone who's listening, just you want to put in Horns of Odin into Google, you'll find the website and see the full range of what we sell. You know, it's like t-shirts, clothing, sportswear, mead, horns, leatherwork, you know, it's vast range, but it's not like it happened overnight. You know, I mean, it's taken like 5-6 years of adding little bit at a time and eventually getting to where it is now.
So what was it like when, obviously, I know you for rugby, and I know when you go to like a team or something, you bring something out new, you're getting the piss taken out of you.
Oh, man, it was hard. Like going back to again to mention Sam, it's like I was pretty shy about it to start with. Like, I remember going out on nights out with Sam, and we'd be pissed up. And this guy, you know what Sam's like, man. He was out just telling everyone about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just telling random people. It's like, look at what this guy makes. And I'm like, yeah, Sam, shut the fuck up, man. I'm kind of shy about it. I'm like, don't tell people about this. It's weird.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, because obviously I fully understand that carving cow horn is kind of not the most usual thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I'm like, mate, people are going to think I'm fucking really weird here. Just shut up. And you know what Sam's like. He's the fucking one of the top lads. He's going to go and tell.
He's a hype man.
Yeah, he is though, isn't he? That's what he is. You know, if you're doing something, he's fully behind you. He's never going to hate on you. He's going to back you, and he's going to fucking push you and push you. So, like I say, that's what it is. I do, without a doubt, owe a lot to him.
Do you ever, like, when doing stuff, like, cause I know with the Wild Minds, when I started off, you start on such a high, and then stuff like, obviously, everyone's interested right at the start, then it falls off a bit. You start seeing stuff slow down a bit. Did you ever, like, doubt what you're doing in that?
Oh, mate, so many times. So many times. Like, I've doubted it a lot, and I think all you got to do is just keep pushing through, and that's all you can ever do. Like, because none of it's ever going to be easy. Like, still, we've had ups and downs. Like, I kind of, like, me and Sarah have had hard times with just for how difficult it's been, you know, working full-time job, then coming home having to do, especially when you get into that middle period where it's like a transition between like full-time job and then going, you know, doing this other thing.
It's all the jump.
Yeah, this thing, this growing to almost like a full-time job size. So it's like doing two full-time jobs, but you're scared to take that risk. You know, that the pressure on me and Sarah at one point was immense, but you just got to kind of keep going, keep pushing through, keep seeing the bigger future, and keep working towards it. Hopefully you get there. But yeah, especially when it comes to doubting yourself, I've done that loads, and I've just kind of got to put it to the back of the mind and keep going. And then I can't remember where I heard it, but one of the best things I ever heard, or the best sort of quotes, or a little bit of inspiration, was someone said that, you know, when you start out kind of at a certain level, you'll have like ups and downs, and you'll have peaks and you'll have troughs, and but you just gotta keep going. And then maybe 2-3 years down the line, your peaks will get higher, and then your troughs and your lows will be as high as your good times when you first started.
Yeah,
so it's like you're kind of moving up, and eventually you look back in 2 years' time, you'll be like, you know, I'm having a quiet spell, but my quiet spell is better than my good times a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's like when you get to that point, you just keep kind of chugging and going forward and going forward, and eventually, hopefully, you end up with something that's half decent.
Yeah, I reckon a lot of people give up on themselves and give up on their ideas because of doubting themselves. Sure. Because I know for a fact, sometimes when I'm doing this stuff, I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Why does anyone care what I'm saying? Why does anyone care about me going outside and stuff like that? Why would anyone ever invest into my brand that I'm trying to create? But then I guess you just got to kick it to the back of your mind and just keep moving, man. Just look at the bigger picture. Like you said, I think that's the best way to explain it. Look at the bigger picture. Look where you want to be. Set your 5-year goal. I want to be here. How am I going to get here? Kind of thing.
That's it. I mean, it's so easy just to quit. Like, quitting's easy, you know what I mean? Like, the hard thing is to keep going and just keep chugging on. You know, like, it's tough, like, when especially with clothing was a hard thing for us to get into. And when we first started it, I had this romanticized view that suddenly I was going to sell fucking hundreds of t-shirts, we're going to be easy street. And then, you know, we end up getting like 10 of these designs in different colors, and I'm struggling to shift them. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? This is hard. And then I've seen so many clothing companies, especially in like this Norse kind of like Viking area, come in, have that mindset that overnight they're going to sell loads, and then within a year they disappear. And it's like, you know, we weren't selling loads the first year. It took 2-3 years of putting out designs, putting out stuff, making sure we get photography right. And then eventually people will buy one, and they'll come back and buy another, and you might get a few new customers, and you grow it that way. It's nothing happens overnight. You know, you've got to be very lucky to be like, I didn't even say like Gymshark, because the Gymshark are huge now. Would have been overnight. You know what I mean? They will have grown slowly.
I think that's what the problem is, even with normal aspects of life these days. People see where people are and they think, oh, they must have just bought some t-shirts, printed them, and then sold them, and now they're there. So let me just do this real quick, print these, and then I'll be there. They don't see
everyone
this stuff,
wants everything
man.
Now, don't they?
now that's a problem. They don't see it. It's like an iceberg. It's the best way I can explain it. There's a little tiny tip at the top, but then all that big amount underneath it. No one wants to do that underneath, unless you're really passionate about it. No one wants to do that.
No, they don't. But that's how you get to, you know, get to the top or get to where you are. It's just by doing all that work that no one wants to do.
Yeah, seriously. And
all those people who just, you know, they want it now, they're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, that's just not how it works. You've got to be very, very lucky, I think, to kind of have an idea and then overnight for it to just become something big. And like I said before about rugby, like when I first started this, like I said, I was shy. I didn't want to tell anyone about it. I didn't want to push it out there. I didn't really want to, other than kind of like in my own little world on Instagram, like I was growing this Instagram page. But other than that, like in real life, you know, I didn't want to tell anyone because I was not, you know, I mean,
obviously, you're not embarrassed about it. You're not ashamed of it, but it's out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, because you don't want to get, you know, especially like say in that rugby background.
Yeah, it's kind of getting,
it is lethal. You know what I mean? So lethal. Especially when it's something unusual, like people doubt and they take the piss and they hate on it, and it's like. But for me, obviously, you're just thinking, right? I'm going to use that and make sure you don't fail from it. You make sure it goes, does something. But it wasn't until I got to like a decent size where then I started being happy enough to tell people about it, happy enough to like share it and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. So how many years have you been at it now?
I think started 2015. But like I say, started small, just kind of.
See, that's still, that's good growth, that 5 years work. And you, man, are killing it now.
Yeah, man, it's a seatbelt. It seems to be, you know, we sometimes it is still just me and like me and Sarah that do pretty much everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it's completely like the whole lifestyle's changed completely. Like say I was doing plumbing full time, she was, you know, dog grooming full time, and then just kind of flipped. Now she's doing this full time, taking care of all the postage, kind of all the emails, everything like that. I'm making everything, and it's like a full lifestyle change within itself for both of us.
Yeah, yeah. See, I looked at your Instagram page before I come on here, 35,000 followers on Instagram. That's pretty big. That for such, I reckon, I'm not saying a tiny market, but it's a niche market, isn't it? Like Viking stuff, it'll be a niche.
Yeah, yeah. No, it definitely is. But you also get good, like a good following from it as well. People who are into it kind of are into it, if you know what I mean. Like you do get good backing from it.
Yeah, I love the Viking stuff, man. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, it seems to be growing, and I don't really know.
It must be the TV programs.
Yeah, obviously, there's a good couple of TV shows. Obviously, you got the Vikings one, The Last Kingdom. They're growing. A part of me has also wondered, without getting too sort of deep, is whether this whole situation, like the whole current climate of, especially the last couple of years, how it's kind of negative to be like that hyper masculine man. You know what I mean? Like, it's not seen as the way it used to be. It's almost, in some aspects, kind of looked down upon not to be that kind of top masculine, that, you know, like that the people that wear around all the time, that rugby kind of world.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not seen as being always a good thing. So I wonder if that kind of channels people into this kind of Viking world of where they are kind of seen as these hyper masculine warrior type figures.
Yeah, I think the Viking stuff, man, it's too much to talk about. That's the problem. I go to bed watching Viking documentaries nearly every night. I just can't get enough information on him.
No, it's a fascinating time. It was, it's definitely, obviously it's got to be my favourite kind of historical era.
I think it'd be my favourite, 100%. I think the way they lived, like back in Scandinavia and stuff, when they were like literally just living off the land, and the land was crap. So
that's why they came here.
Yeah, 100%. I think people, when they think of Vikings, they think of big axes, people chopping people's heads off, just raiding, raiding, raiding. But when you get into it, you get more deep into it, there's reason behind every single thing they did. They weren't just, they'd mess you up, they mess you up good. But there was reason behind everything they did.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, without a doubt, they were more farmers than they were warriors. Obviously, the term Viking or to go Viking was more profession. So it was more like a pirate kind of thing.
Yeah,
You went a Viking, so it was like somebody from Scandinavia that went a Viking, so they would go raiding, whether it would be to England, to even down to like Tunisia, you know, they went a long way. So only a small percentage of people are going to go and do that, because if you're from Scandinavia and you've got a farm, either your eldest son is going to take over the farm, maybe if you're second, third down the line, you haven't really got much waiting for you in the future in terms of inheritance. So that's where you go out and head over to England and pillage and take and try and make a name for yourself there.
I say it's not even England, is it? When you look at it, they conquered everything. They was all down. If I'm right with this, they went up and they went east and they down to Europe. So they've been in Europe before they sailed west to hit that little poor church that got smoked.
Lindisfarne, yeah. Lindisfarne was the first place. Obviously, if anyone doesn't know, I've got my own podcast with a doctor of Nordic studies. And this is where I learn most of my stuff. So I just regurgitate what he tells me.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea behind Lindisfarne, which is the first place that they attacked on the British Islands, they think that it was probably a retaliation for, I think it was Charlemagne, I'm sure it was like Charlemagne, who was the Frankish emperor at the time.
Right.
And what he'd done is he'd attacked and beheaded a load of pagans in Europe. And he was moving up towards Denmark and up towards Scandinavia. So they think that what the Vikings did, or what like the Scandinavians did, is they attacked Lindisfarne because one of his high commanding sort of, I don't know whether he was a priest or, you know, someone in the clergy in the church, one of his high ups was at Lindisfarne. So they think that they went there and attacked that in particular on purpose to send a message out to Charlemagne, say, you know, look, don't come any more north. You don't want to fuck with us because this is what's going to happen. So even down to like that, people think, you know, it was just a bunch of Vikings that attacked Lindisfarne.
That's what I thought it was.
That's what I mean. They wanted to kill all these monks. They wanted to take the gold, which obviously they did, but there was a deeper meaning behind it than that it was planned. They wanted to basically send a message out and say, look, you don't want to come north into Scandinavia because this is what we're capable of and this is what we're going to do. So it's not just pure brutality. There is meaning behind a lot of it.
So did they know that they knew where England was already when they went there? Right. Yeah, in my head, they just sailed west because I've watched the Vikings. That's where I've got mine from. The Vikings program where they sailed west.
Yeah, you can't believe everything you see on there. It's good because it gets people into it. You know what I mean? Like, I like programs that actually gets people into the inside this world, and then they can do their own research and readings. But no, they knew where stuff was.
Because
obviously they'll have had travelers, they'll have spoken to people. I guess even you had like the Roman Empire before that, which was which had been in England. So they definitely had an understanding of here, and they will have known that obviously we have good farming land over here. Whereas if you haven't been to Denmark, Norway, Sweden, like it's extremely hilly, very mountainous. They all live around the coast, and then obviously the fjords which cut in through into like the mountains, but it's all rocky. It's not good farming land. So if you want to travel anywhere to make a name for yourself and have a nice little farm and settle down and have a family, England was really good.
Yeah. So they attacked there. Well, was they already in England when they came across to attack that place where they knew it was?
No, Lindisfarne was the first. It's that I think it was like 19. I think it was like 793, but I'm probably wrong on the date. But that was like the first attack on like the British Isles. They think maybe they attacked a couple of like the north islands off the top of Scotland.
Yeah.
But like in terms of like the mainland UK, that was the first one, which sparked technically the start of the Viking Age, which went all the way through to 1066, which was obviously when William the Conqueror comes over from Normandy. That ends the Viking Age.
Yeah, I
think by the textbooks anyway.
I say by the textbooks, but there's that many of them here. That many moved across to England anyway. There's got to be a piece of Viking in most people's bloodlines.
Yeah, I think they say that about Yorkshire, is that there's a huge percentage of most people in Yorkshire, I can't remember what it was. I think it's like 70% or something have some link back to Scandinavia and like that Viking kind of thing. Because there's a lot of people that have come over and then mixed with kind of like the people here and our genetic, you know, like the British or Saxon genetics. And again, like it's written down in the textbooks of the time of the English women or like Saxon women liked Vikings because they were clean and
they
looked after themselves. So, you know, you have this idea of Vikings being kind of like these big dirty warriors that come over and they smell, and it wasn't that at all. I mean, like you say, they made a note at the time. I can't remember what scholar it was that like in the Viking Age, you made a note saying that English women were being kind of like swooned over towards these Vikings, and they were taking them away because of they just looked after themselves. They weren't these horrible warriors that kind of like people make them out to be.
I think with the readings I've done, the Viking men, I mean, with the Viking men and women, it's a lot more like it is now than what it was back then. Like with the English, with the Saxons or whatever, they were like the women were underneath them. But now, with the Vikings, they were equal.
Yeah, they definitely had. I mean, it's easy as well to kind of romanticize it in modern times and say it was completely equal, which it probably wasn't, because it won't have been like 100% it is now. You know, now in modern society, now is a best time to be a woman when it comes to like equality with men than probably ever. But it was certainly easier than most places. Like you know, women had I think if I remember rightly from one of our episodes, they were saying that basically women, they would have preferred things to stay in the family rather than ever go out of a family. So if, say, you had a man and wife who had a farm and the man went off raiding and he was to die and he didn't have like an eldest son, what they would rather it fall into the hands of the woman to live the family name on or carry on in their family rather than it go to an outsider. So it would take that kind of normal route of going, you know, the man to the eldest son and through that way. But if that bloodline was stopped, it would go to the woman rather than them ever wanting it to go anywhere else.
Yeah, I think with the Vikings, bloodline was a massive thing, wasn't it? With lords and all stuff like that. But they didn't have a king, did they? They didn't have a king or vault.
It's all about honour as well. Like honour was a huge thing. We literally spoke about this yesterday. Was that, you know, you could say kind of anything to each other. You could have like banter or like take the piss out of each other. But if you cross the line where you like questions, particularly someone's manhood, if you question someone's manhood, then you had to do something to recover that. So you had to like kill them or swing it out. You know, you had to, you can't like,
you so it was a respectful time really.
Yeah. You couldn't disrespect someone, especially like you said, manliness was the top thing. If you were to say, you know, anything about anyone's manliness, that they couldn't like look after the family or whatever, then that was it. You had to come down to it and you had to kind of fix it and you had to show your manliness. Otherwise, because you've got to remember as well, you're living in a time where if you, without going like in too medieval, like a man has been like this big protector, if you didn't show how powerful you were, then somebody's going to come along and take your stuff. That's how it was, and that's how easy it is. You know, it's easy to sit in our times now where we've got nice laws and things that stop that happening. But if someone was bigger and stronger and they wanted your belongings and they come along and, you know, they're going to take it.
Yeah, taking your belongings.
That's it, exactly. And there's nothing you can do about it. So that's why you've got to show how manly you are, show how big you are and tough you are, because you've always got to flex, because someone else is going to come along and take what you have.
Serious. With the programs, the Vikings and the Last Kingdom, which one do you prefer?
Oh, I've got to say Last Kingdom, just because we...
My G.
Well, we made some cups for them. So we.
I was going to say this. I've seen Uhtred drinking out of one of your horns.
That's it. So obviously I've got to say them. And I actually had the pleasure of meeting Alexander Dremond, who plays Uhtred, and he's just like the nicest guy ever. We were doing a Comic-Con that's selling, you know, like trade. We do trade, tend to do like a lot of Comic Cons and get like a little stall there, and we'll sell products because they go hand in hand. Obviously, you got like Assassin's Creed. They've just
that boosted your sales as well. Do you reckon?
Yeah, anything that brings people in. But we had obviously God of War was before that, and you have like the TV shows that kind of go into the Comic Con world. So Alexander Dremond was doing a speaking for the Last Kingdom, so I just chanced my arm and made like a horn for him. And spoke to the person who looks at one of the organizers that looks after us. I was like, look, is there any chance you can get this to him and just give it him, you know, like as a president, just see what happens. And then it was like the last day, because I mean, it doesn't look like he does on the show, I'll be honest.
See, that's how I'd be super disappointed if I came up to him and had like a good haircut, no beard or nothing. I would be interested in talking to him. I don't know.
I mean, he doesn't look like he does on the show, but this guy just comes like getting pushed over in a wheelchair by this lady's pushing him over. I'm like, but I could tell it was someone kind of important. Yeah. I wasn't really paying attention because they were busy. So obviously, like, there's people looking and this guy getting pushed over in a wheelchair, and he like just comes over and says he wants to say thank you, and I like twigs who it is. And obviously he just comes and says thank you for the horn. I'm speaking to him for a little bit, and he's telling me I was taught, like, did his ACL doing jiu-jitsu.
Oh yeah.
Which is why I was in the wheelchair, and you know, it was like really appreciative. I was asking about the company, asking what we did. And you know, like when someone genuinely takes the time to
they're not just speaking to you for the sake of speaking to you.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever been to the XL Centre in London. I mean, this place is fucking huge.
Where he was
like the other side. I'm talking like he's 100 metres away through a packed crowd of of a lot of people. So he's taking the time to say, look, can somebody get me a wheelchair? Can somebody push me over there? I want to go and say thank you to these people. You know what I mean? Like, most people don't do that and don't go out of their way to do that. And that, so he's obviously showing appreciation there. And even, I said to him, look, because he didn't have the horn with him, I was like, do you mind just taking a picture of you with the horn when you get back to your hotel room or whatever? And just give him a business card. I didn't really expect anything from it. And then like half an hour later, he's there sending me a picture of it with the horn. So obviously that's just a little something I can post online. And then just ended up emailing back and forth, kind of sending him some clothing. And then the other day, they did a Last Kingdom kind of like Christmas story special. And
I haven't seen this.
Yeah, on the Last Kingdom, they've just done like, it's on their Instagram page. They've done like, he's just sat there in an armchair, kind of like, you know, like the old style.
Yeah, yeah.
With like a fire behind, that kind of thing, doing a story. And then I'm looking, I'm like, motherfucker's wearing my shirt. Like, he sat there wearing my shirt. So I sent him a message on WhatsApp. I'm like, fuck me, mate. Thanks for wearing that. You don't have to do that. It's like, no worries, man. I'm glad I could sneak it in. I like what you're doing. It's like, the guy is just such a genuine human, a genuine nice person, even though he's kind of like a decent level celebrity at this point. I'm like, it's nice to meet those people. Like, it restores faith, because I've made a few horns for people and give them to people. Kind of, obviously, I'm trying to get a little bit of something from it by...
Yeah, you know what
I mean? You know how it works.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you just kind of get snubbed. Like, the worst one was Jason Momoa, who fucking snubbed me worse than anyone.
Who was he? Is it the...
Jason Momoa played Aquaman.
Yeah, I thought it was him, yeah.
So I made one for him at a show and spoke to his agent, everything, got it set up, made it for him, little box, got it to him, and he was really appreciative at the time. And I liked it, and I'm like, look, can you just send me a picture of you with it? Because obviously that's worth gold to me.
Yeah, serious. It's worth more than money.
You know what I mean? That's worth, yeah, of course it is. Because, and so what I did is, if anyone listening, you probably will have seen his tattoo. He's got like a tattoo that's like isometric triangles on his forearm.
Is it the Maori stuff?
Yeah, but it's like triangles. Some of them are like, there's like black ones pointing down and the white ones coming up in like the negative space. So I did that like around the top, and Aquaman was filming at the time. So I carved like the Aquaman logo into it, and I give it him, and he was kind of gassed to see it start. And he looked at it, and he's like, "Ah, oh, I want to commission you to do one without the Aquaman logo on." So obviously then I'm like, at the time I'm thinking, nah, man, as if you said this. So I've gone away, and he's come back next year to the show. So I've made another one with just that round here.
Just what he wanted.
Just what I got. I didn't get to give it him in person, but kind of like got it to him. I'm thinking, yeah, he's definitely going to share this on his Instagram or something.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. And I just think, like, you can't ask too much, but I was like, you must know who you are. You know what I mean? Like, the influence you've got.
If
I was kind of like a million followers and someone made me like a handmade thing, I'd be like, it'd take me 2 seconds just to pop it on the story and be like, you know, thanks for this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you could have just done that, you know?
Could have made you, yeah. It'd have been sick to be done, yeah.
But it doesn't even make, you know, it makes a big difference. But I guess that's just kind of how different people are, and as they get bigger.
Yeah. I think with people starting stuff, they forget how big influence is, because they want to start shelling out products straight away. But I think you need influence behind it. You need to put the work in and give stuff away first and do your grind that way before you start reaping the benefits of it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like I say, we've given loads of stuff away. But you've got to, like, it's nicer because, especially with me, making the horns, it's a nice thing that most people don't have or most people don't do. It's unusual. So it kind of stands out if I can get, if I can give one to certain people.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've battered in horns. It's fucking weird as fuck, but you know what I mean? People like it. So I'm like, well, I'll make you one if you give me whatever.
Yeah.
So it does kind of work in my favor in that sense. But, and I've made a bunch, probably like 10, 15 horns for like famous-ish people that like I've spoken to and been like, can I send you this? I'll make you this. Do you fancy? And then most of the time, nothing comes from it. But then you get that one occasion where someone like Alexander Dremon who really appreciates it, and it leads into, because that's the only reason I made the mugs for the show, was because he said to the like the prop department, I like these guys, buy some mugs off them.
So your mugs are in the show?
Yeah, there's one.
There's one scene
in the last series, and obviously you can see it if you know. Watching for it, but there's one where he's drinking from me. Can you just see like the Raven design on it? And I
just you know stabbed the mean? Bomb of it.
It was just seeing that, seeing it on like a Netflix TV show. I'm like, fucking as if I've made that.
Yeah, yeah, I bet it's a sick feeling.
Well, yeah, all right, absolutely. But like I say, you get that one chance out of however many hours I've spent making horns to give away to people. You get that one moment where it leads something, but it wouldn't stop me still doing it because you never know which one's going to kind of lead to something.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like in normal life, just it's just a don't give up because your big break might just be around the corner. Like when I had Lewis on the last episode, he was saying he's got all this music in his like in his albums and stuff already. He's like, the song that's going to blow up could already be out right now, just no one's found it yet. So I think you just got to wait for the right people to find what you're trying to do. And it'll go good.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think even like one of the prime examples of that is probably someone like George R.R. Martin that wrote Game of Thrones. Because like that book was out fucking, and I don't know exactly, but probably like 10 years before it got picked up into a TV show.
So I've never watched Game of Thrones.
Well, you obviously you'll have seen how big it is though.
Yeah, yeah, I know it's everywhere.
Like his book, he wrote that book, like I said, probably 10 years before the show ever came out. So, and he was just probably, a poor writer, maybe making a little bit of money, but nothing like he is now. And then someone from HBO ever looks back and finds his book and is like, oh, fucking hell, I'm going to make that into a TV show. And suddenly he's catapulted into absolute stardom and everyone knows his name and everyone knows his TV show. So that's a prime example of, you know, you never know what's around the corner, what little thing you've done that might just be picked up or somebody might see and like.
Yeah, I think I looked in the other day, it said it takes, when you start a business, if it's going to take you 7 years to be successful, 7 years is a long time. That's a long grind, 7 years.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Of course. So it's like just, you got to keep your grind when you're doing stuff. Even in normal life, if you want to get better at something, keep grinding, man. If you want to run a marathon, but you can't even run 5K, just keep grinding. Eventually you'll get there, man.
That's it. You just got to keep chipping away, keep going. Keep working at it. Like I say, eventually you'll get a little bit better, And then, you know, you look back and you have come further. It's like, as much of a cliche as it sounds, you know, they always say like every journey starts with a single footstep.
Yes,
but it's true though. You know what I mean? Like, you sound corny saying it, but that is how it is. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't build Horns of Odin into what it is today overnight. It was literally like, I made a horn. Then I made two. Then I made a couple more. Then I added the jewelry, the leatherwork, added all these little bits as I was going along. And then you look back and suddenly I'm selling like hundreds of different products.
Yeah.
If I'd have tried to do that straight away, I wouldn't have a fucking clue where to start.
It's the grind, isn't it, man? It's the grind.
And it's just don't be afraid to just try and learn as well. Because I didn't come from a business background.
Yeah, yeah.
I trained as a plumber. And I worked for someone, I didn't even run my own business. And somehow I've had to learn like how to run a business.
Yeah, yeah.
We've just recently gone VAT registered, so I've had to learn how to do the VAT and all this kind of stuff that it's extremely, extremely daunting and scary.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's terrifying, like learning how to, even just like stuff like buying a domain name, setting up a website, you know, like all that little shit that you don't really think of that no one teaches you.
Yeah.
It's scary, but you just got to kind of like Google it, figure it out, speak to people, ask, because most people will help you as well. That's the other thing, is just ask people.
Yeah, I think that's what people is. People are scared to ask people these days. They don't want to. Mm-hmm. It makes you look, it makes you feel like, I don't know what the word is. It makes you feel like you're not as knowledgeable in stuff as they are. So people don't like asking for help, man. But I've said in 2021, sorry, my resolution is just learn as much as I can. Even if, no matter what it's about, I just want to learn as much as I can that's going to impact on my life and make my life better.
That's, I mean, there's no better way to be, really, is there? Just try and learn new things, new skills, and they all come in handy eventually. Like even with me, like learning, I didn't know how to use Photoshop, and then suddenly I'm having to learn Photoshop so I can make t-shirt designs or little stuff for Instagram. And I just had to sit there and figure it out, or ask a friend of mine who knew about Photoshop. I'm like, how do you do this? And then, you know, he might get a little bit annoyed, but at the end of the day, it's still going to help you out, still get there.
I think if you're passionate about something, I think that's when you need to fully jump on it. Like, you found a passion for this biking stuff and you've just gone full out all at it and you're giving it everything, and it shows that the hard work you've put in, you've come to this point you're at now.
Absolutely. And I think that's another thing, just to, you know, if anybody's listening, if you want to do something, just have a go.
Yes.
Just have a go at it, because if you don't pay out, it don't pay out. And you can go back to what you was doing or find something else. Like, life will change and adapt and another door will open up, but at least you've taken the time and the effort to try, and you're not going to sit there 20, 30 years and just regret it, because that's fucking, no one wants to do that. No one wants to regret not having a go.
In the time that you haven't had a go at it, someone else is having a go at it and they're getting it all in. And that could have been, you could have been the one that's at the top of the pile, but instead you threw the idea away and left it and didn't really want to come out of your comfort zone and expose yourself to people that are going to throw negative stuff at you, and you just sat in your little comfortable bubble, but this other person's come out and then they've done what you want to do.
That's it. I mean, it's easy to sit in comfort zone and just be like, you know, I'm happy doing this, but in the back of your mind you want to do something else, or there's something niggling away. Like, you just got to do it and have a go and see what happens, because it is going to be scary and there are probably going to be haters who are going to say, you can't do that, don't do this, it's going to fail, it's a big risk. You know what I mean? And most of the time that comes from your family and friends as well. Like, the people closest to you, like, it might be like your partner, your husband, your wife, is like, do you really want to take that risk? Do you really want to do this? Or it might not go right. And it's like, yeah, it might not go right.
Yeah.
But it fucking might. It might go right as well. It might work out.
And you find them doubters, they do full circle. They do a full 360 on you. They'll, at the start, you'll start something like, why are you doing this for? Da-da-da. It's not going to work. Why are you trying to do this for? But then as soon as you get that little bit of traction, you see them come up, oh, you can't do as a discount on this, or I can't come this way. Yeah, full circle every time.
Oh, of course they do. They end up being your biggest fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, fuck me, you doubted this when I started.
Yeah, you should have backed me from the start.
I say it's... We do it starting with Horns of Honey. Like I said, we've been unique, different. It was terrifying. It was scary, but I enjoyed it. So I just kind of kept chugging away and kept it growing, kept getting somewhere. And eventually started winning people over, and they came around to the idea. Because, I mean, to most people, the idea of making a business out of carving cow horns is obscure. And it even sounds obscure to me now. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know it could get to the level it is now, but I knew it could be something.
I think that's probably, your stuff's gonna be something, but what is it gonna be? I think that's the hard bit. You can't see in the future, but you feel like you've got something, so you just gotta keep pushing.
Exactly, that's it. And like I said, doors, just different doors open. It might not go exactly where you want it to, so even if you take a chance and try do what you want to do, you might not get to exactly where you want to go, but on that journey, you know, it's just like a journey through life. On that journey, another door to the side might open up and it might take you a little bit of a different angle, but it's still the fun is the journey. You know what I mean? If someone could say to me, you know, you could just overnight be where you are now. You know, when I first started this, overnight, click your fingers, you can be where you are now, not have to go through the hustle. I'd be like, nah, because I've learned so much and had so much fun through that journey. And like I said, just learn loads of little tiny life skills met a lot of cool people and got to where I am. And the journey's part of it. It's getting there and just having fun along the way.
So what do you think's next for you with the Horns of Odin?
I don't know, man. I'm definitely not done yet. There's definitely more to go
anywhere, man.
I think I'm going to focus a little bit on the podcast, get the podcast bigger. I think there's a market there for people who want to learn about kind of Norse mythology.
It's super interesting, the Norse stuff, man.
There doesn't seem to be another podcast kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah.
About, so hopefully grow that. And then with the business, I guess I'm going to look at doing some axes,
that kind of stuff,
some weaponry. So to do that, do some more sports range, and just keep going, keep trying to get a little bit bigger every time. Especially with the clothing, like say we started out making 10 garments in different colors, and then you know the next range you might do 20, and then the next range you might do 30, keep growing, keep getting a little bit bigger, and that's how it is, you know. Like, and if you look at, let's say you look at our last winter range, we've got like a men's and women's jumper, we've got a jacket, we've got a bunch of t-shirts, we've got mine's gone blank, I'm trying to think of what else we've got on there. Beanies, scarves. It's like looking back 2-3 years ago when we started doing clothing, if I'd have seen that, I'd be like, fuck me, am I gonna pay for all that?
Yeah.
And how am I gonna do that? But you do just kind of get there eventually. You chip away, you sell some stuff, you keep money to one side and plan it. Budget. That's another skill that I've had to learn. It's like putting away a certain percentage for marketing, putting away a certain percentage for the VAT, a little percentage for the next clothing range. And that's kind of stuff that people don't teach you, but you just kind of have to figure it out and learn and read stuff, read books, watch YouTube. There's no excuse now for not knowing stuff.
YouTube's the one, isn't it?
Yeah, there is literally no excuse for not knowing anything anymore, because you can Google it or you can YouTube it. There's hundreds of hours of people on YouTube telling you how to run a business, how to grow a business. But people don't want to sit and watch videos and learn how to do it.
Imagine if school taught you how to do all this.
That's it. They don't, do they?
Imagine.
It's all stuff that you don't really need. I mean,
I have not used algebra since I left school.
Nah, never. Most of the people I know that did like business studies as well, like at school or at college, they're working just standard jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's most of the people like myself or like you that we didn't grow up in that world, but we've kind of just found your way into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Another path, but you've just got the drive to do it, and you're just gonna figure it out and get there eventually.
Serious. I think it's just literally just be whatever you're passionate about, put the hours into it, put the hours into research on how to grow some it. Literally all mine was an Instagram account. I made an Instagram account, that's it. And then all of a sudden got followers, kept going, got more followers, and I thought, right, let's keep going with this, man. It's all it is, isn't it? Just grow, man.
That's the best way. Just organic growth.
Yeah.
Like you're not pumping a lot of money into it, you're not spending any money you don't need to spend, you're not, you know, forcing it out there. It's organic because you've done something that people like and they want to follow it, and then it grows a little bit and it grows a little bit. And it's like you say, I started Horns of Odin on Instagram probably 5 years ago. It's taken 5 years to get to 35,000, but that doesn't happen overnight. You know what I mean?
I like 35,000. I'll do 5 years for 35,000.
Well, that's it. You think people look at that and they're like, "Fucking hell, that's a lot of followers." I say, "Yeah, but at one point I had no followers, I had 100, and I was gassed to get 500, and then I was excited to get 1,000." You know, like every time there's like these little marks, and maybe I'd get 1,000, and we'd give some up, we'd do like a little giveaway, and you know, it was all, even with that, it's all just chipping away these little goals: 1,000, 5,000, then we might get to 10,000. No way, we're going to get to 15. Then you know, 6 months down the line, you're at 15, you're pushing on 15, and that's how it is. You just keep going.
I think with you growing it like organically, the people that follow you are actually interested in what you're doing. It's not like just random people that are following your car. You've paid for followers. It's not like that. It's like they actually care about what you're doing.
Exactly. I mean, you could have 100,000 followers and it's all paid for. Then it ain't gonna result in anyone buying anything you sell.
It just looks good.
Yeah, you might be able to flex with it and just with, oh yeah, I've got 100,000 followers. But like, yeah, but have you? When it comes down to it, like, how many of them are actually liking your pictures or commenting on your pictures?
Like, 100,000 followers. It's mad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm enjoying what you're doing at the minute. Just it's good. Your photography is looking good, and just getting out into nice, you know, different places, getting out there into the wild. That's what more of us need to do.
They tie in a bit, man. The Horns of Odin and the Wild Minds tie in a bit. We're both free people.
Yeah, we'll have to get something together.
We'll have to sort a little something out.
For sure, definitely. Those water bottles were looking good.
Yeah. Listen, I got caught up with the water bottles. Too much stuff come on the light. I was making them all myself and stuff. And then, then all of a sudden, other stuff comes up. You know what life's like. So other stuff come up and I've stopped making them. But people still want them as well. That's the thing. So I had to pull my finger out and start making them again.
Get back on it. Yeah, they were good. I'll take some.
Yeah. I'll swap you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll do it. That's what I'm saying. You can barter in these things.
Yeah, serious.
You got any more products in the line? Can you do any more?
Hopefully. It's a long, complicated process, isn't it? Everyone thinks it's just you message someone, they make you a t-shirt, they do this. That's what I thought at the start, then. It's hard, man.
It is, but you can do two things. You can either get deterred and give up and go back to your normal life, or
serious.
You can keep going and hopefully end up with something good and amazing at the end of it.
Yeah, man.
But I mean, it looks like you're having fun getting out into nature anyway. And
that's the part of it. Like I said, it has to be a passion first. It has to be a passion first before a business idea.
Exactly. And you've obviously been enjoying your photography a while as well.
So. Yeah, it's been going for years. I've been loving taking pictures for years, but then it's like all these things have like come together into one place and it feels like this is where I should be doing this.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's the best way to be, and then you can grow it into, hopefully grow it into a business and grow it into something that you can make money from. But then at least it's your passion first, so it doesn't feel like work, you know.
Yeah.
You're having fun. Like, was it you and Chrissy that went to Scotland?
No, I didn't go to Scotland. Chrissy, I went to Wales with my other mate from work.
Oh, okay.
And that was it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Just getting out and hanging out with your mates and taking some pictures, then you get some content. If you get some good content for your Instagram, then brilliant. It's good. But you know, at the end of the day, the main trip is just to go have fun.
The experience, man, it's class.
Exactly. Not enough people get out into into nature and just enjoy it. It's all about sitting in front of a screen at the minute and playing video games or whatever. But I don't think most people don't realize how good the British landscape is.
Yeah, it's class. I didn't think all of it before. Not for a long time, I didn't think of it. Then I've gone out to Snowdonia and stuff, and it's sick.
Everyone's looking everywhere else. You look into America, look into Europe, and it's like, nah, man, we've got a lot of fucking good, natural, like really, we've got a lot of history here, but it's a lot of nice landscapes. I've seen that you did, was it like in the Dales? You went down. You got to Thor's Cave.
Oh yeah. Went to Thor's Cave. Sick.
So you went to like little places like that. The people probably don't even know about.
No, I think that's the problem. They don't know. They look at all their places abroad. But with lockdown, I think with lockdown, people are realizing that you don't have to go to another country. You can literally hire a camper van, or you can just go for the day and just go see all these places.
Yeah, there's some beautiful stuff. I think for me, like one of my favorite places is up at Dovestone Reservoir.
Yeah, Dovestone is nice.
There's, you know, you got your three reservoirs, and you walk up right up onto the top of the cliffs up there. You could be anywhere in the world. It's serious. absolutely beautiful. And it's like it's 20 minutes from me.
Yeah. It's easy to get out, but I think it's people just trying to get people to get up is the hard part. Because once you know, it's like you go to work, you sit down, you're finished.
Yeah.
Unless you've got something important to do, you're done.
The good thing as well, it's like motivating people on Instagram as well. Like stuff like you do, stuff like I say with Chris, say Chris is a big motivation for people. Yeah. Sam's good motivation because like we've even like group chat with like my mates, one of us will put in like a workout of just running in the gym, and it just gives you that little bit of energy, like, I want to go to the gym now, I want to go do something. Yeah. And it's those little instances of motivation where it drags people off the couch, and even then though you get haters on that,
100%. You're like,
you might be posting pictures of you in the gym, or posting whatever from you working out, and people are like, oh, why are you posting this? But then secretly, it's only because they fucking want to do it, or they're too lazy to do it. But there might be 10 people that are looking and going, you know what, I'm gonna go to the gym today. They might not tell you about it. They might not message you and say, look, you made me go to the gym today. But guaranteed, there will be somebody that's looking at your pictures on Wild Minds, looking at it and going, fuck me, I want to go visit that. That looks nice.
Yeah, serious. I started up the 310,000 steps in January.
All right.
New challenge that's going at the minute. I've literally just posted it on my Instagram yesterday, and I've posted the actual picture on the actual Instagram today. I think we've got 17 people that have signed up to do the challenge. Okay. But I'm thinking, if that challenge weren't there for people, then 16 other people but me might just sat on the sofa all finger. Yeah, so it's like probably a little motivation for a minute, just get them up and get people going. And they're going to go see more of the world now. Well, more of the world, more of around them and the surroundings, and go for walks through the dales and stuff just because they're in this challenge.
Yeah, exactly. And then hopefully other people are going to see it. Other people will, they'll share it. And even if there'll be some people that don't sign up for the challenge per se, but they'll just see other people getting out there working.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, well, I'm going to go for a walk today. So it might not add up to your total, but they'll still be kind of inspired. Involved. Yeah, they'll be inspired, like, on the side from what people are doing through this. So it's all about just getting out, doing something. And
I think it's just good for you, isn't it, to get out and do something. It's just good for you, man.
Yeah, you feel, like you said, we've been so busy the last month that I don't think I worked out from the beginning of the second lockdown.
That's
when it started getting busy for Christmas. So even when the gym's opened back up, I did no exercise. And then I think about 2 days ago, I go back into the gym. I'm like, you know what? I've really, really missed this, because it makes a difference mentally, like to your mental health. Exercise is so important, because I just don't feel the same, especially coming from that. You'll know, coming from that rugby background where you're used to getting your aggression out. You're used to playing. Like, when I stopped playing rugby, I was like, fucking, you miss it. You miss that. There's something about it. Yeah, getting it out. Even just getting flogged. Like, no one likes getting flogged.
But at the end of it, you're around as well, isn't it?
Yeah. But at the end of it, like, you can have all the worries in the world on your mind, and then you'll go to the gym and you'll put yourself through a tough workout. And as soon as you're finished, those fucking problems are gone. If you're getting flogged, you don't have time to think about any issues in your life, any worries in your life. And when you're done, without a doubt, you feel better. Things just feel, you can see things clearer. And all the things you were worrying about, you might realize they're not as important as as you thought they were at the time.
I think people just need to get up. I think get up is the strongest thing, because the hardest part of the gym for me is getting up and going. Once I'm there, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine when I'm there, and I feel good afterwards, feel real good afterwards. But from getting from my sofa to the front door of the gym is the hardest part for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it probably is for most people. Won't just be you for sure, because it's easy to just be like, nah, tomorrow I'll go.
Yeah, tomorrow, not today, man.
Not today. And then you fall in that cycle. It's like, oh, well, I'm not going to gym, so I might as well just get a takeaway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it all just kind of spirals. But if you get up and go, you're probably not going to want to eat the takeaway, because you're like, fuck me, I worked hard there.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat the bad food now, because it's not worth it. And that's where, like we were saying before, I think that's where it comes into its own of, you might sit down on your couch and then scroll through Instagram, see someone like you, Chrissy. Like Chris is a big inspiration. Like, if I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see Chrissy up at 5 o'clock in the morning, doing chin-ups, getting his grinding. I'm like, how the fuck can I sit here and do nothing?
Yeah. And he's out there banging weights like that.
That's it. So you see, you might just scroll through social media, see that, and then suddenly that puts in your mind, I need to get up. I need to go and do something now.
Yeah. The power of social media, man.
It can be good or bad, can't it?
It's either one way or other way, but if it's used the right way, I think social media is like one of the best things for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like I said, as long as you just stay away from the negative sides of it, just the whole... Because that's another thing to remember, people only post the good things on there.
Yeah,
no one's posting the troubles, the strifes. Serious. Their arguments with it. Well, some people might post their arguments on there, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, most people are only posting the good shit.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's easy to get trapped into that mindset of, oh, for me, their life must be good.
Their highlights are good.
Yeah, everyone's highlights are good. Or hopefully everyone's highlights are good. So no one, like you say, no one's putting the bad shit on there. So as long as you stay away from that and you're aware of that, and like you're aware that, you know, all these Instagram models that are flexing, like,
it's not real. It is real, but it's not real. It's all airbrushed. It's all,
yeah, that's what I mean. It's airbrushed. Or it's like the models, you know, like you don't see, like going back to like you said about the iceberg, these models that you see, especially like you got the male models with the ripped six pack, like some of them, most of them, the two, three days before that, they won't have been drinking any water or loading up on water to get it out, or they might be doing like a weight cut to strip, and they're on death's door when you're taking them pictures. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you don't see the work that goes to side of it. Most of them aren't just waking up looking sick, taking a picture, because for like, especially with the influencers, a lot of them, this is their job as well. So obviously they're out there hustling and getting the best angles. It's not just this wonderful life that you kind of see and assume.
Yeah, I think you just need to work on being the best version of yourself, and just don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Just be the best version of yourself that you can be, and you won't go far wrong.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, man.
There we go, man. This has been fun.
It has been fun, mate. I have enjoyed it. It's been a good chat, man.
Yeah, no, it's good. I enjoy these. Just something a bit different to like say to my own podcast. Just kind of...
just lay back and chat in, man.
Yeah, that's the best way. People tend to like to listen to this kind of stuff as well. Just a nice, honest chat between two people.
Yeah,
and
I think
you do learn. Like I say, I must have learned loads. Like, obviously, the top of the heap is Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
But, like, fuck me, I've learned so much stuff literally just listening to that man speak to another person who's done something interesting. And the amount of times I've listened to that and gone, and it's kind of pushed me forward and thought, well, I can't quit because they're saying, don't quit, keep going. So it has a knock-on effect. So maybe somebody listening to this might want to start try something, or might be that, or might have already started and be doubting themselves. But everybody does it. Everybody doubts themselves, no matter where they are, no matter who they are, no matter how successful they are. Everybody has fucking doubted themselves at some point and gone, nah, this might not work. Might not
this
be
is what you know next, innit?
It's you either quit or you carry on.
Famous last words, an
option,
man.
Is it?
Nah, never. We don't quit.
That's it, exactly.
We keep pushing, man. All right, I want to say thanks to you. Massive thanks. I finally got you, man.
That's it's it. Been anytime, a good chat. Really enjoyed it. And I'll come back anytime you want.
I love that, man. All right, thanks for coming on.
No worries, man. Take care.
All good. You as well.